Good morning. No. It's Palm Sunday. It's not a normal Sunday. You can do better than that. Good morning.
I got it.
Multitasking. All right. We welcome you to worship here at College Park. Several announcements we'll make as we get started today. We would like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to fill that out. Write your name down. Give us contact information you choose. Check the appropriate boxes. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that end person, if you could send it back to where it got started. Once it comes back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Let me see. Brandy, y'all have an announcement. Y'all come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think as many times as I stand up here and look out, I would never, ever get used to speaking in front of all of you every Sunday. I just wanted to remind everybody that the GAs are going to be walking in the Got Friends 5K this week on Saturday. That's for Lily's friends. It's going to start at 9 o'clock. And we have had a tremendous response from the church, and we are so grateful for that. And you can still make donations throughout this week if you want to. And for the parents of the GAs that are in here, tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest, check your emails. You'll be getting an email with all the logistical information about Saturday and transportation and things like that. But we have Morgan and Katie that are going to share some Bible verses with you this morning, and then Addie and Catherine are going to wrap it up.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for those who believe in speech, in life, in love, in purity, and in faith. 1 Timothy 4:12.
Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, says the Almighty.
We are so excited to walk for Lily's friends on Saturday.
Thank you for all your support.
We love being GAs at College Park.
Raymond, I think we need to take our offering up right now. Some announcements we'd like to make. Many of these are listed in your upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. Let you know about the update for the building. The renovation of the education building is almost complete. There are some punch list items that have to be done on the bottom floor, but we are well underway in getting all the floors ready to be used. Today from 3 until 5, the family ministry team, all the preschool, Sunday school, and children's Sunday school leaders, we're meeting from 3 until 5 to put together furniture, get rooms together. So those that are interested in doing that, we'd love to have you from 3 until 5. Reminder, this week it is the regular church conference this Wednesday. That is under the upcoming events there in your bulletin. Make note of that. Also, it's Holy Week as Palm Sunday begins today. We have Holy Week. Thursday night is Maundy Thursday services. Friday is the Tenebrae service. We want you to note that we're making a change with that. Those services will be held in the chapel. I'm excited about that. That was one of the when I first got here, we held these services in the chapel, and it was such a beautiful place to worship together. And so we're looking forward to being back in the chapel this Thursday and this Friday. Let's see. Any other announcements? The kids are really excited. I don't know if you can tell. They're pumped about Palm Sunday. So we're excited about them leading us in worship. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have picked a great day to come. Our ushers are coming down the aisles now, and they would like to recognize you if you're a guest this morning. So when they get here, Bill? Well, Bill's coming. All right. If you're just a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers will recognize you, give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church, and also a little bit of the history of the story of College Park. So we're especially blessed by your presence this day, and we pray God would speak directly to you during this hour of worship. There is a great joy that comes with being a believer in Christ. And that day, as Jesus came into Jerusalem, blessed be the name of the Lord. When was the last time you said that phrase and meant it? Not as just something we repeat, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is our Lord, He is our Savior, and He is here. Let us worship together. Pray with me. Our Father, as we begin this time of worship, we come to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus has come into this earth, has come into our lives, and it gives us reason to shout, to scream with joy, to say thank you at the top of our lungs. For he is blessed, and he blesses us. In this time of worship, may you be the one who receives glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Everybody. Okay. This will work out just fine. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
All right. Today is a very special day, right? Why is it a special day? Branches, palm branches. You get to wave them. You get to hit your brother and your sister with them. Well, here's what I thought. Now, church, you're going to have to help me out with this, okay? You know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were having a I like to call it a party, all right? So I thought we would have, when the youth go off on youth camp, we like to have like a 30-second dance party, right? When we sometimes at late night, we thought we'd have like a 10-second party this morning to kind of remind us of what it was like when Jesus came into Jerusalem. They were having a party, right? They were waving their branches. So I've got some noisemakers. I've got some things that I don't want you to make. I heard grunts from the choir. I don't want you to make noises yet until I say go, okay? So we're going to pass these out. Let me see. Where am I? Right there. All right. Now, church is going to get a little loud, so don't just be prepared. All right? All right, so here we go. Just take... Everybody get some stuff here. Now, some of these, you have to make your own noise, but it can't be really loud. Let's see. Everybody got one? Got some here? There's one. Who wants a horn? I don't have that many horns. All right. There's one. Everybody, y'all got? Okay, here we go. All right, here. All right, here we go. There's a horn. Okay. All right. I want a horn. Here we go. There's a horn. All right. Here's a bright color thing. Hey. I got clappers. Who wants clappers? Anybody want clappers? Well, we won't need clappers. Okay. Let's see. Everybody take one. Who knew party planning was such hard work? All right. There we go. Now that works.
It works.
It does. I'll show you how they work. Everybody got one? Everybody got something? There you go. Okay. Here we go. There you go. Everybody, I'll give it. Sit down. Sit down. It broke. Here, take that. Now, did I say go yet? Is everybody listening? Eyes this way. Eyes this way. Eyes this way. Listening. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. All right. Everybody, eyes. Here you go, Aaron. You want the blue horn? No. Oh, that one. There you go. That's good. All right. Now, don't make a noise till I say go. Don't, now, here's the thing. Why were they excited that Jesus was there? Because he was Jesus. He had come to take care of all of their problems. And they were excited. All right? So, they were wanting to have a party. And so they made loud noises. They said, "Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Can you say that with me? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Say it again. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they threw a party. So, on the count of 10. Now, congregation, you need to make noise too. Now, this is not just for the kids. It wasn't just the kids who did it. So I want you, yeah, like Wake Forest won the national championship in something. All right? Just something. All right? State won, but it was 30 years ago. We won something. All right. On your mark. Are you ready? I want five big. Y'all come down. I want y'all to stand. Hold them. All right. Face that way. All right. On your mark. We're going to do 10 seconds of partying because Jesus is here. Are you ready? Congregation, are you ready? Are you ready? Balcony, you better be ready. On your mark for 10 seconds. I want choir. You ready?
Yeah.
On your mark. Get set. Go. Take a seat. Take a seat. All right. Now, noisemakers to your side. Noisemakers to your side. You get to keep those if you promise not to blow them till after the service. Moms and dads, take them away. You can blame me. That's okay. Noisemakers to your side. Nope. Noisemakers to your side. This is what I want you to do. I don't want you to ever forget how excited that we heard each other be. Because Jesus was here. We need to live just like that every day. To be excited that Jesus is here. Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for that Palm Sunday that we celebrate. At the time when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people were so excited. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because they knew Jesus had come. Take care of. Let us be excited because Jesus has taken care of our sin forever and ever and ever. We love you in Jesus' name. All right, need choirs, handbells, go to your seat. Everybody else, you can go back to your parents. Okay? Good job. Good job.
There is reason to celebrate Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. We have experienced Lent. We have experienced our journey to the cross, and we're almost there. And during Lent, we have been called to confession, to acknowledge the gift that Jesus Christ made on behalf of us, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us. Hear this call to confession from Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Will you please pray with me? Lord, you are a God who keeps promises. In our prayers and songs, we say that we want to be Christians. But then we forget our promises. Our actions do not match up with our words. We say mean things to people. We hurt their feelings. We want our own way. And we think of ourselves first. And worst of all, we ignore you. Lord, hear our prayers and forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And an assurance of pardon from the 118th Psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You may be seated. This morning, our Sunday school class finished up a 4-week study on relationships, the last sight challenge. I learned in week one that I have room for improvement in all my relationships. But it was in week two we discussed intentionality and what it means to be intentional in our relationships. Let me give you an example. Each week, more often than not, I think to myself how much I enjoyed. Maybe it was Raymond's sermon. Maybe it was Mary's music. Maybe it was something Jason or Jeff did during the course of the week. I do appreciate what they do, but way too often my appreciation goes unspoken. So for me, week two of the Last Sight Challenge, I think, was written specifically for me. I learned that I need to be more intentional in my appreciation to our worship leaders. I need to tell them thank you for their love and their leadership. I need to say thank you for the time and effort that goes into preparing a sermon, or preparing for the music, or preparing for the study groups or the group activities. So I encourage all of us, if you hear something this morning or over the course of the week, be intentional in your actions. Tell that someone. And if you do not see them after church, pick up the phone and give them a call, or write them a note of appreciation. But tell that person how much you enjoyed what they did and what it meant to you. Will you pray with me? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you on this Lord's Day. We thank you for this Lord's Day and having the opportunity to gather here and worship. We thank you for this church and what it means to us. We thank you for Raymond, Jeff, Mary, Jason, Teresa, and Sheila, and for the time and effort they spend each week preparing to lead us for a time of worship. I ask you to continue to guide and direct them in a direction you would have them go. Lord, there are those in our church who are sick and in need of your healing hand upon them. There are those who are hurting, whether physical or emotional. I would ask that you be with each one this morning. Give them strength and comfort during this time of need. I pray this morning for this country and the elected officials who make decisions on behalf of the American people. I would pray that they seek you and your guidance. I pray for the men and women in our armed forces, those in foreign lands, separated from their family and loved ones. Some may be found in harm's way this very day. I would ask you to keep them safe and bring them back to their families. As we prepare to take up an offering, I pray that the gifts we receive be used to glorify you and your kingdom. Lord, we love you. We acknowledge that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Bless us, guide us, and keep us, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You need to be sure and see the celebration on the floor here in the front. Jason, I was saying we got job security for Robert, bless his heart. And he's going to be busy this week. It is good to come together and celebrate. It is good to be in God's house, to be with people that we know and love, and to worship together and celebrate. And it's good to see the children. It's an interesting phenomenon when you see children coming down the aisle. I glanced back, and very few people singing, Mary. I mean, I'm sorry, but very few people singing that first hymn. A lot of people watching the children, and rightly so. As we think about what it means to be a believer, I think many of us get a little too sophisticated for our own good. And it's good on days like today to see a child lead us in prayer, to be reminded that until we become like a child, it's really hard to enter the kingdom. That childlike faith, not childish faith, but the childlike faith. And so as we begin our Holy Week services, today is Palm Sunday, of course, and we're going to read a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 21. If you have subtitles in yours, the NIV subtitles is the Triumphal Entry, and rightly it is. We're going to read chapter 21 of Matthew, the first 11 verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." "Who is this? Who is this that comes in this fashion?" That's not a bad question for Palm Sunday. You know, we're rounding kind of the last turn and headed into Holy Week and the home stretch on our Lenten journey, if you will. Who is this? Who is this man precariously balanced on a mama burro and her colt, riding into the city, surrounded by this this crowd? You could call him a mob, but anyway, this crowd that's just shouting, "Hosanna." Who is this? The people of Jerusalem wanted to know who it is. It's critical that we know who he is. And the way we get there, first of all, I think we need to begin by asking those who are closest to him. They have been making some progress, making some progress in their understanding of Jesus. Early on, if you go back and read in the gospel, when the disciples saw Jesus calm a storm, they were simply amazed and they said, "What sort of person is this that the wind and the sea obey him?" Indeed. But after the second time around, when he calmed the second storm, especially after they saw him walk across the waves, they worship him as Son of God. Now, they may not be the quickest mice in the maze, but eventually they got to the cheese. I mean, they figured it out, you know. And later, when Jesus asked them, "Who do they think that he is?" Peter, you know, if he, of all people, Peter steps up. He says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." "Bingo," Jesus said. "You got it. No human told you this, Peter. This was a message from God." That's pretty high praise. "You got it, Peter." So presumably, if any of the people of Jerusalem had asked Peter or John or one of the other 12, "Who is this? You know, who is it?" One of them hopefully would have said, "This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the promised one." We hope that's what they would have said. Now, had the Jerusalemites ask their adversaries, the Pharisees, they would have got a completely different answer. Here's how that would have gone. You know, early in the gospel, the Pharisees had made some decisions about Jesus. They had come to a very firm conclusion about him. They had decided that he was a sinner because he dared to break the Sabbath. They had decided that he was a magician who did magic tricks, who did sleight of hand stuff by the power of Satan. That's what they had decided. They decided he was a troublemaker who had no legitimate authority. They had challenged him. Show us a sign. But he wouldn't do it. They said, why don't you obey God's law like we do? And instead he called them hypocrites. They had decided this man was dangerous. They wanted him dead. So who is he? If you ask a Pharisee, they would say he's a quack, he's a heretic, and he needs to be silenced. A little bit different story than the disciples. So you got the disciples saying one thing, you got the Pharisees saying another thing. So the kind of the swing vote, so to speak, is the crowd. Now, to this point, they follow Jesus. They have thronged him, if you will. They have pressed him. They have praised him. They've been amazed by his miracles. The crowd said, never before has this happened in Israel. They've been amazed by his words. They said, he teaches with authority, not like our other teachers. That probably really endeared him to the Pharisees. They seemed generally favorable. The crowd generally seemed to favor Jesus, but they didn't all say the same thing. You know, when Jesus asked the 12, who do the people say that I am? They report a lot of things. They said, well, some say you're a prophet, like Elijah. Others say that you've taken up the mantle of the late, great John the Baptist, and that you're the preacher of the coming of the end of time. But on this day, the crowds come close to giving the party line, the A-plus answer, if you will, because they shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, that's a confession. When they say Hosanna to the Son of David, that's a confession that he is the promised Messiah, the descendant of King David who would retake the throne of Israel, just not in the way they thought, / hoped. And see, when the folks in the city asked the people who walked into Jerusalem with Jesus who he was, the people that were walking in said, he is Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet. Prophet. Prophet means that God had sent him and given him his message. Well, that would explain the authority of his words. And some prophets, like Moses and Elijah, they could do miraculous things to back up their words too. So is that the whole picture? I don't know. Surely the disciples and the crowds can't both be wrong. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the future king. He is a prophet. He is sent from God. He is even the Son of God. God's uniquely chosen messenger. So the crowd, although they may not have a complete picture of who he is, they're beginning to get it. And so they roll out the red carpet for him, like they would for a king. And they wave palm branches in the air and they sing the old lines from the old hymns, the Psalms. They sing those that celebrate the long-awaited deliverer sent from God. Here's the problem. The sticking point on this gloriously celebrative morning is that Jesus said that he must die. Wow, there's a bummer to the party. Really? He tells the disciples straight out. He said, look, guys, when we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the temple leaders, and they're going to condemn me to death. They'll give me to the Romans, and the Romans are going to nail me to a cross. Somehow, that part hadn't sunk in yet. And on this day of all the applause and adulation, the 12 won't get any closer to comprehending really what's going on. No, Jesus, that can't be, Peter said. And Jesus responds, get out of my way, Satan. Wow. apparently, this whole thing of Jesus having to die, it's not up for popular vote. Apparently, there's no negotiation on this. Even for the disciples, as close as they were to him, he was not interested in their opinion any more than he's interested in our opinion. He's interested in their praise and obedience, just as he's interested in our praise and our obedience. So who is this guy? Who is this man? He looks really peaceful sitting there on the donkey. But if you keep reading verses 12 and following, when he goes into the temple, that guy is a little bit more frightening, a little scarier. Do you think that he really wants to die? Do you think that he's stirring up the crowd so that they will crucify him? Do you think that Jesus has a death wish? No, no. I don't think so, but you can't deny what he said. He said, you gain your life by giving it away. You want to be number one? You want to be first in the kingdom? Be a servant, not a king. You want to enter God's ideal realm someday? Then pick up your cross. If he's a king, then he intends to rule from the cross. If he's a prophet, then he's going to be like the prophet Amos, standing up for the helpless and standing up to the powerful. If he's the Son of God, then he's going to demonstrate his power, not by calling on the mob to storm the temple, but by trusting that God's power and God's will prevail. Who is this guy? Who is this man? He's your master. He's mine. But I confess, sometimes he makes me a little nervous. What if he actually asked me to follow him, to step off the edge with him, to go all the way to Good Friday with him, and then to whatever lies beyond? Do I really want to know him as well as I say I do? God, grant me the courage to follow my master all the way to his cross and to mine. Let's pray together. Lord, it's easy on Palm Sunday to celebrate and wave branches and say, blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. It's easy. That part's easy. It gets a little tougher as we go through the week because it requires us to look at our own hearts and see exactly where we are. God, we open our hearts to you now. We ask you to touch us at the point of our need and at the point of our sin, to cleanse us as we confess it to you, to encourage us, to strengthen us for the journey to the cross that will come this week. Because it's only by going to the cross that we will be able to celebrate the resurrection. God, we pray for your courage and your strength as we examine who we are and who you want us to be, and then ask you to fill the void that we've been filling with selfishness, to forgive our sin that we've been hanging on to. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm not a believer yet. I know who Jesus is, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. This is your morning. I want to invite you to come. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, I'm not sure about this cross business, and I really need to kind of get back to the basics of the faith, and I need your help. I need your prayer. Certainly, I'd be glad to pray with you, or you're welcome here just to come to the altar and pray. If you're here and you say, I love this church, I love the people, I want to be a part of this fellowship in an official capacity by church membership, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, spend this time to reflect, to allow God to speak to you, and to be honest in your response to him. Let's stand and sing together now. To you. Remain standing. Want to extend a challenge to you. Some of you have said, well, you know, I wish we could meet some of those people that come to 9 o'clock service. I keep hearing this name and this couple and about this child, and I haven't met them. Well, good news. Some of them are with us here in the 11 o'clock this morning, so no more excuses. Introduce yourself to one another. Get to know those you've been members here for 50 years. Introduce yourself to those who've been member here for 50 days or whatever, okay? Take that opportunity after we have prayer and response together, fellowship with one another, meet one another, greet one another. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you for the blessings of today. God, we know that you only want what's best for us. We pray as we go from this place that we would align our will to yours. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.